Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
With the third pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier right now on WEEI.
One more day from Detroit for Gresh and Fourier here on Boston and New England Sports Original WEEI. At 10:10, you will hear our conversation with Drake May from last night. And boy, what a night it was, to say the least, here in Detroit. First of all, somewhere between, I do believe, a 250,000 and 300,000 people descended onto the downtown area of Detroit, where there was quite the buzz. There were lots of roadblocks.
Yep.
There were
and lots of people.
Yeah, and lots of people as well. But at the end of the day, as expected, for 3 months, we thought this was the way it was going to go. And it's Drake May. And I get it. I know. I'm going to quibble, but we go back to, ooh, trade, smoke them out, biggie bag, all that. You made the pick with 5 minutes left on the clock, so you've been telling us this whole time, you know, oh, well, we get on the clock, you know, hey, even Mayo down at the draft party last night, my wife and kid were there. I get a text, oh, Mayo said they might get back up in the first round. We're just out, we're just barfing audio now from Gillette.
Why?
Just
this
barfing
is a,
it up.
Why are you starting off in such a crappy mood? You need to play the intro music again, because, Gresh, this is a good day to be a Patriots fan.
Really?
You are once again starting over with a new quarterback. Like, you should be excited. There is hope. And you be honest with me right now. Be honest.
Okay.
We've been talking about Drake May.
Yeah.
We've been, you know, dissecting his film.
Nice kid.
Talking to people who analyze quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
Now, you meet him in person. You see him in person. You find out a little bit more about his family and his upbringing.
Sure.
Okay. Did you like him more once we talked to him and you met him?
Oh,
was it a different?
No, it was what I expected, because here's the thing. I'll use a line.
We saw all those guys last night, okay?
I'll use a line from Seinfeld on the whole, I think it was like with dating. You're not meeting the person. You're meeting the facsimile. You're meeting the business person of these guys who now cross into the NFL. So, no, I expected him to smile and be affable and sign the camera and all that kind of stuff. This is, for me, it's the whole strategy from the organization. I'm not completely sold on the player. Clearly, they weren't, by the way. Regardless
Why?
Of what, because they would have traded in a heartbeat. It's that simple. If it was, my God, we need a quarterback. We've never been here before at number three. Why would you entertain a trade? Maybe because even they are not 100% sold on the player. And I thought they would literally wait until 1 minute left to go. We're entertaining all offers. So boom, 5 minutes that thing was in, and TV ended up making us wait.
I think
stuff
they did.
Like that.
They did. They
How
did,
does that not they, make sense?
They did get offers. A couple things I think were true. One, were false. One, okay, if they really felt like they were happy with one of the six, or five of six, right?
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to get Caleb Williams, weren't sure about Jaden Daniels, because every one of those quarterbacks went in the first round.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. All of them, which is amazing. It's the most ever in the first round.
We have a lot of breakdown on that, too.
So I would say, like, as far as all the guys go, if they got the guy that they particularly wanted, and there was evidence and proof that other teams tried to move up, but they weren't willing to, give him enough. So they turned it down. And once they realized, and I think they knew this, even when they first said it a couple of days ago,
I'm kind of with you.
No one was going to. It was ridiculous. And so they said, "Why are we kidding ourselves? The charade is over. Let's just take the guy that we knew we were going to take when Mayo was introduced the first day."
And here's the reason why the whole Mayo getting back up into the first round thing, and why I mentioned that, Christian, is because what did we hear the whole time? For 3 months, what did we hear about? Bags, bags, bags. Which means you're getting picks, not giving up picks to move back in the first round. And again, it's the whole one guy talks about one thing, one guy talks about another, and then you get the picture from the draft room where everybody is standing there smiling, and in the back corner there's Jonathan Kraft mean mugging, almost like, why are all of these people here and smiling?
That's an interesting photo. I don't know who's running Twitch right now. I don't know if you even send it to him, but it is.
Oh, it's in the grid.
It does seem like a cult.
Like a
picture.
Cult photo.
Yeah, it's like, okay, listen,
they're all staring at the sun or their god. Ah.
Yeah, here comes Jim Jones ready to tell us all our problems are over. It's like, so smile for the headmaster. Weird. I get it. And that's a facsimile of real life also, it's like now the whirlwind is over. The studying is over. The kissing everybody's ass, trying to be on point all the time. It's over.
They were all doing their best to put the best foot forward, answer questions the best they can. By the way, in 3 minutes, you will hear our chat with Drake May, the first on Boston Radio. And really, 1, 2, and 3, no surprise whatsoever. Marvin Harrison ends up going number 4. And again, I just, I like Harrison a lot. I think it's a guy who is going to be a ready-made dude. And I hope May is going to be okay. I really do. Like, I hope that he ends up pushing Jacoby Brissett and that there's much more in this guy than even maybe we think. Because at the end of the day, they're going to have to find a way to groom this dude. They're going to have to find a way.
Oh, he is a sit and marinate guy. He's a sit and marinate guy. He is not a hurry up and throw him in there. Not a chance. He would be running for his life.
There's the video. So look at all of the smiles in the draft room, folks, right? There's RKK. There's Elliot Wolf. You see Gerard Mayo. There's Matt Groh in there. There's some of the new hires. And then
that is really,
I don't know if Twitch can zoom into the back corner of Jonathan, back left. Look at Jonathan Kraft's face back there, almost like, why the hell?
Is that Groh with the tie with the
teeth?
Biggest?
Yeah, yeah. Giant head.
It does feel like they were drugged. Hey, listen, everybody, take this pill. We're gonna take a quick picture. Don't just be happy. Be beyond happy. Be extra, extra, extra happy.
Yeah.
You got to prove a point.
That photo was really interesting only because of the JK piece in the back. It's the, what in the world is going on here. Look, and some in Twitch, they're already
Daddy's
getting on me. But
happy.
It feels like I was, again, just the reaction on social media and stuff, even in our Twitch chat, on Twitter as well. It feels like some people are okay with them taking a quarterback, but they're not sold. Some are like, thank God we got a quarterback and GM sold on the guy. And then there were people like me who wanted Marvin Harrison or a trade.
Well, you just wanted Marvin Harrison. So, you're not wrong. If you were running that team, you would have taken Marvin Harrison.
There's no doubt.
Look at all the other, and we'll get into all the other mistakes and drafts and picks and choices and decisions that other GMs made. And that they'll all be held accountable for. And that just goes to show you, like, what's important to you? Like, what was important to them? And maybe they feel like this was a guy that they didn't want to risk losing. Because it seems like, and you'll hear the truth in about a week. Like, who really wanted who, and who settled for Bo Nix or, Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, like the Justin Herbert stuff that came out recently. That was poppycock. The Chargers were not either going to give him up and, eat what would have been like a $63 million cap hit or something.
Over 100.
Over 100. There you go. Well, I know we got the video of this as well. So basically, let's set the scene here. So when you go to the draft, you're last. As we had no idea. So what? Drake Mays drafted, what, 820, 830, something like that, whatever it was. 2 hours later, it was us, the assembled TV people who went. Might have been a writer there as well. But basically, we got everybody got a chance to ask some questions to Drake May. And here is our quick chat with Drake May after he was drafted last night.
Drake, what was the pre-draft process like when you got to New England? Was it different than anything else? Like, did you have an inkling that they really liked you?
No, I was just trying to be myself up there. You know, it's one of those things during the process. You go to all these different teams. You meet with the front office and the coaches, and you really, you know, they're judging you and having, you know, thoughts on you, and you just really get no feedback. That's kind of how the process is from all these teams. So it kind of just, you know, like, hey, I think I did great. I think it went well, but really you don't know until draft night. And just shows that, you know, those people up there are awesome. You know, I'm looking forward to getting up there, meeting the people and the fans. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I'm getting acclimated with the team. And I was in that locker room, kind of walked through it, but we just got a glimpse. So
was Gerard Mayo the one give you the call?
Coach Mayo, I talked to him second. You know, Mr. Wolf was first, and then Mr. Kraft. So.
And what'd they say to you?
Yeah, they were excited. They were pumped. I think, you know, the biggest thing, you know, that I got from it is they're excited for me to get up there and just think, you know, get back winning. I think that's all they want. They're all looking forward to.
There's been a lot of talk about your family. Growing up, youngest of four boys, there's going to be a lot of comparisons. There's going to be a lot of living in the shadows of Tom Brady. Is it fair to say that you've been living in the shadows of your older brother, so it's not really a big deal
for
Drake May?
Exactly. You know, my whole life I've been Luke May's little brother, and probably still tonight, maybe even after tonight, I'll still be that around Chapel Hill. So, you know, but Tom's, you know, such a great player, and just try to, you know, do as much as I can to learn from him. And shoot, I think he's, you know, one of the best Patriots of all time. So.
Drake, did you pay attention to sort of the narrative out there as people were evaluating you? Like, is there anything that maybe either irked you during the process or that maybe there was some false narratives created around your play or yourself in terms of the way you see the way you play the game?
No, I'm confident in my ability. I think all the outside media, you know, I think, you know, it's different when the coach is, you know, your coach is telling you to do something versus what the media thinks. I'm confident in my abilities, and I know I can throw the football, and, you know, I feel confident. You know, anytime I'm out there as a quarterback, you'll get a good chance to win.
Now, you had a great question in there about being Luke May's little brother, because there was a, you know, and I don't know what people are going to glom on to, because I know Tennis Brat became a big thing with Mac Jones. But I think with this kid, it's a great question, because he was stuffed in a locker. He was given noogies.
Yeah.
He was
constantly talking about fighting for food. If he didn't sprint, he would be left behind.
Right.
Okay. So, and I do think there is some
competitive level that I can definitely get behind.
Yeah. He talks about how he hates to lose. Imagine you're the youngest of four boys, right? And all his brothers, one brother won a national championship at Florida for baseball. The other two were basketball players. The mom and the dad, his dad's name is Mark. His mother's name is Amy. All of them are successful in sports at a high level. Like, like if you're successful, if you get recruited to play basketball at North Carolina, you're one of a very, very few, okay? They just don't give those spots away.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you win a national championship in baseball at Florida, it's kind of the same thing. Put a lot of pride in that program, both mom and dad. So, if you know, living in the shadows, because you're already hearing it, Tom Brady, like, people can't get away from the Tom Brady this and Tom Brady was that. So he will be the, what, it was Cam Newton, it was Mac Jones, it was Bailey Zappi, it was Brian Hoyer. Those are all the guys that took snaps after Tom Brady.
Yep.
This dude is not going to be affected by the pressure or the lingering, you know, June 12th day that is Tom Brady. He doesn't care. He's been compared to his older brothers his entire life. He's been having to prove people wrong his entire life. This is nothing for him, which I think is of sneaky significance.
It gives him a different kind of edge, mm-hmm. because he's been a he's had to battle. That's something that definitely I can get behind. I just don't know if this guy is ultimately going to grow and be good enough to where we're making freaking comparisons of Josh Allen, for God's sake.
Well, see, it's just funny
because Tom Brady. So I'm just going to try to be Drake May.
he does compare himself. He did, and I can see why. I mean, like, and he's not, but I can understand why. Like, if you
he's
are,
not,
if you
getting, are being near him last night, he is not as big as Josh Allen.
He isn't.
No,
he isn't. It's funny because I thought he was going to be a lot bigger, but remember, he's still a baby when it comes to like football life. When it comes to NFL football maturity, he's a child. He is going to get so much bigger, so much stronger.
Three hops and a cot.
He's literally only been in college 3 years. Mm-hmm. So he didn't play his first year. He ACC Player of the Year, the first year he starts after Howell leaves. And then Chip Lindsey, who was his offensive coordinator, comes in. And then they lose some talent. They're not nearly as good. It's not Chip Lindsey, who is the offensive coordinator, who will join us at 10:30.
Yep.
And he runs a lot. And why does he run? He has no choice. I told you months ago that the one guy he reminded me of, not in size or stature,
yep,
was situation. Josh Allen had a similar situation where he was able to thrive when he had NFL wide receivers. He decided to stay in school. The next year, the dude was doing nothing but running for his life, trying to make crazy passes because he was required to do everything. The entire offense was on his shoulders. Same thing with Drake May. So that's where I draw the comparison. So what you get and what you see his basically his true junior year is not a true indication of what he's capable of. That's so the size and speed, not close.
Well, I know that at 11 o'clock we are going to get to some of the Bill Belichick analysis of Drake May, and it really stands out when they talk about his footwork and his lack of patience in the pocket. That's why I kind of quibbled when you said that. Or was like, it furrowed the brow.
Because, what part?
Well, the whole, you know, in the pocket, stuff like that. Like, this is the
no, one- he's a runner. He's a fleer. He gets the hell out earlier.
Right.
Because he's been conditioned to bail.
And how do you break him of that? I go all the way back to thinking about Donovan McNabb, right? We got our guy B. Mitch who joined us yesterday, right? Philadelphia Eagle. What did they have to do whenever Donovan McNabb got there? Andy Reid was like, you're not allowed to leave the pocket right now. You know what I mean? Like the very early part of Donovan McNabb was, you don't leave this area. You need to stand here. You need to learn how to process information, all that kind of stuff. And when you started to see more of the film of the feet, and you know, what happens to quarterbacks whenever they have pressure and they start to develop bad habits? Their feet get unsettled. They move around. They take their eyes off of what they should be looking at down the field. And are those things that are correctable to get to an NFL level? And okay, the anticipation
so you, so as well. So you, being yeah. the person that drafts him, or you, the person that doubts him, have to believe that he has the ability to learn, that practice. He will put the work in. He will put the time because that's really – he is not even close to being a finished project. He is a prospect. So all those things that he's going to have to work on these things. He's not playing right away.
No,
and
of
he will – I remember – not that this is a fair comp, but I remember the kid from USC, Matt Castle. He was a disaster. Mm-hmm. A disaster every year. And I play with him. I'm like, this dude – is squirrely. He runs too quickly. He has no discipline whatsoever.
That's why he's a seventh rounder.
He was nuts. And he never played. But he had skill. He had determination. He was willing to put the work in. And then it proved that if he was coached right and he was given the opportunity and the ability to fail, recover, and then figure it out in real time under real circumstances, not some bullcrap practice, he would evolve. He did. Now, he wasn't a Hall of Famer, but he was a really good quarterback in the league. Now, we expect more from Drake May. We want him to be better than Drake May.
Yeah, there's also the part of me that's like, why would you sit him then? What's this guy, a bigger project than Mac Jones who came in and earned the job?
Well, I would say that the situation was different. Listen, whatever philosophy you're into, like, you can look at other quarterbacks that are great now. They sit. The most recent example is Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. He sat for a year. Jordan Love sat for multiple years. Aaron Rodgers, multiple years. I do think there's substance in that. That is important. And listen, and obviously, The most important thing, the most important job, and talking to people at the draft and talking to friends around the league and former quarterbacks, most of them are worried about Alex Van Pelt and then the offense's ability to groom him. It's not that he doesn't have it in him. It's not that he can't be altered and, you know, corrected and, you know, developed. It's who is developing him. Isn't that ultimately, like, how good you are? You can have tons of great students who are extremely intelligent. They have a crappy teacher who is beating them down or not telling them the right ways to learn something. They're going to be delayed or they'll wash out.
It also feels like because there was, let's just be real, okay? And I don't know if you think I'm mischaracterizing this, then tell me. There was pressure from ownership. Pressure from ownership to get a guy, to get a quarterback. Are they going to sit back and go, oh, yeah, you know, we encourage you to go get this guy, but sit him for the year?
No, hold on. Just because the pressure was on, it didn't need to be from anybody. They need a quarterback. So just because Kraft mentions it, suddenly it's assumed that there's all this pressure on them to take a quarterback. They were taking a quarterback anyways. Now it turns into, well, who does Kraft want? We talked to Pioli yesterday. He mentioned to us that in all his years, the one time he had an owner come and kind of say something was what Ted was it the when he was with the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah,
Art Modell. Okay, had his guy that he wanted, but they still took somebody else.
Oh, it was with the Ravens.
Was it with the Ravens? It was.
Yeah,
okay,
when he was working as a underling with the Ravens.
I just feel like there's just some misconceptions about what really goes on in there. And now that the pick has been made, the truth will come out.
Wow. Well, Drake May is here. How excited are you? You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. The Twitch chat is a hopping, to say the least. You can also text at 37937. We will try to get into some phones today because we wanted to really try to bring you, a complete look at Drake May. He was only his offensive coordinator for 1 year, but Chip Lindsey, the offensive coordinator at UNC, will join us next to talk about Drake May. We know the Bruins and Celtics are playing big playoff games this weekend. Razor will be with us at 11:20 or 11:25. Lou will be with us at noon. And the Bill Belichick analysis and breakdown of Drake May. He didn't skewer him, but it wasn't, I think, what some maybe wanted to hear, unless you're just an anti-Bill guy, and then you say, well, then he can't do this, that, or the other, and you can buy into that if you so choose.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, the first round of the NFL draft is in the books. Drake May is a member of the New England Patriots. And to give you the best Drake May breakdown, you heard our little one-on-one with Drake May as we are in the house, or we're in the house here in Detroit. Joining us now, Drake May's offensive coordinator from down at the University of North Carolina, offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey with Gresh and Fourier up here in Boston. Chip, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Doing well. Appreciate you guys having me on.
So what is it like now having coached a guy who was almost the number one pick in the draft?
Yeah, it's special. It was a lot of fun, a special year to spend with him, and just can't say enough about, you know, who he is as a person, and then obviously seeing him every day, you know, doing his thing, and it's going to be a great fit, I think, and I was really excited for he and his family.
So, Chip, when you just so people up here kind of get an idea, like what makes him special? Like what sets him apart other than the obvious?
Yeah, I think you know, all those guys that are picked high, they all have talent. You know, they're yep. all good players. That's pretty self-explanatory. But the thing, I mean, he is an elite competitor. He is an elite football IQ guy. He is those things people don't really know yet, and those are the things I think that set him apart. The guy's extremely driven, very hard on himself, wants to be coached. You know, when I first got there, you walk into that situation with a guy who had already been successful, and you know, you don't know him, and you're thinking, okay, you know, what's this guy going to be like? But he was really, really a true joy to coach. Just wanted you to coach him every day, wanted to be challenged, very inquisitive, you know, asking the why of things, not just trying to follow the directions of what you're trying to tell him to do. So I just think it's going to be a great fit there. And he's a guy, definitely. If I'm a franchise and investing money, which is really what you're doing, you know, he checks all the boxes on and off the field.
So when you showed up, that you installed a brand new offense, right?
Yeah, you know, somewhat. We kept some of these you know, the concepts. In fact, to be honest with you, I sat down with him a lot and said, okay, what do you like? What do you not like? And, you know, we all run similar concepts. It's not like it's a night and day different offense. The thing I think we did a little different, we did a lot more, you know, chipping out chip protections and letting him get all the protections right and doing all those things. And
so when he was in charge of setting protection, pointing, but did you guys allow him?
Oh, yeah.
Was he pointing out the mic, setting the up all the linemen? So they, okay. Because I feel like a lot of college teams, they don't let their quarterback do that, but he was doing that.
Yeah, I think a lot of them do. I think I hear all these guys say, oh, they don't do it. I mean, every offense I've been in and seen, they do. I just, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's amazing watching some of these guys across the country talk about these guys that I'm not sure they really understand what they're looking at sometimes. But yes, the guy is extremely bright. The guy, you know, he had all the freedom in the world with the protections and getting it right. Even if we, you know, I didn't tell him the protections, he had to know it and do it. And then if it didn't look right, flip it, go the other way, re-mic, whatever you want to call it. And those are the things that I think will make him really, 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 really special.
Chip Lindsey is the offensive coordinator at the University of North Carolina. He coached Drake May last year. He is with Gresh and Fourier breaking down the new New England Patriots quarterback. And, you know, Chip, I'm curious from kind of an overall offensive standpoint. I know there have been some people who break down Drake in the pocket, the feet maybe not set, moving around. I know there were some protection issues at times as well. I'm curious, through your eyes, were there some things within your offense last year that forced Drake to have to either lean on the athleticism or do some things that would be maybe a little bit mechanically unsound?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think the guy's very mechanically sound. He is what he is from the standpoint of he can make plays off platform and move and create things when things break down. In the college game as well as the NFL, you're never going to have, or you're very rarely going to have, a pure clean pocket. You're going to have to be able to move around in some of those things. I mean, the guy was 20 years old, and like I said, was played two seasons. So obviously there's things he needs to improve on, and he understands that as much as anyone. But there's also a lot of clips where he was really clean in the pocket and his feet were set, and he made really, really, really good throws. And he continued to do that as well. The best thing he does, though, is moving around and keeping his eyes downfield. He's going to be really good at that. Those are things that I think are going to serve him very well. If you look at the guys in the league now that do that, the Mahomes, the Josh Allens of the world, and all those guys, they're able to create and keep plays alive. And you guys know as well as anyone in that league, you're going to need that because there's really good players on the other side of the ball.
Chip, I'm curious that you come in, you've got a guy who's an ACC Player of the Year. You talked about the great year that he had 2 years ago. When you got under the hood What did Coach Chip Lindsey want to tighten up or make better within Drake May's game that you feel like you took a step forward, but there's still maybe a ways to go yet?
Yeah, I think the first of all, as an offense as a whole, we wanted to run the football more, and we had a 1,500-yard rusher. So, you know, that obviously the year before, Drake was the leading rusher at 700 yards. And so, you know, with that being said, we wanted our offense to be more balanced. We felt like that was really important. That's when Coach Brown hired me. That was one of the things he insisted we do. And then, you know, specifically with Drake, I think the development of just coming along with understanding defenses and what the defenses are doing, understanding, you know, the weaknesses of each and every defense, the preparation each and every day that he does to prepare for that. Those are all the things that I think he made a lot of progress on. And the arm talent and all that stuff, it's there. You know, whether you put your left foot up, your right foot up, or whatever kind of, if you're a push shuttle drop or if you're a big three drop, whatever it is, everybody does it a little different, even around the league. He'll do whatever those guys ask him to do, and he'll do a great job with it.
So we're talking to Chip Lindsey, offensive coordinator of North Carolina, had Drake May his this last year. And I'm curious, you know, the narrative for kids from the South who, you know, never play in snow, don't deal with the elements on a regular basis, struggle to adapt. I'm curious your thoughts on that and if you think that's even a big deal for him.
You know, I don't. I think for guys with small hands and guys that are maybe not as, don't have the prototypical size, sometimes maybe that matters. You know, we do play in the South, but, you know, we're kind of on the East Coast here or East Side, and we play some cold weather games. I understand we haven't played any snow games or anything like that, but I think, you know, when that's one of the things these teams, when they evaluate, because let me tell you, they do an unbelievable job of evaluating these guys, the scouts and all the different people that come in, the personnel departments and things that come in and do their research on these guys. I think those are things they do take into account. But I don't see that being an issue with Drake at all. The guys, he's ready to go every day and prepares. And I think the people in New England are going to be really happy with him.
You know, so I think the one thing that's kind of making us chuckle up here, we used to have a guy up here that played, his name was Rob Gronkowski. And he came, he had a lot of brothers, and, you know, they were rough and tumble, and he was one of the toughest guys because of that, you know, upbringing. Drake's the youngest of four. I'm assuming, mm-hmm. you know, he shared some stories with you about how he had to keep up or maybe even live in the shadows of his older brothers. Do you think that's part of why he is the competitor that he is?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. Just the way his family raised him, you know, got a great set of parents, mom and dad. They're just unbelievable people, and you can see all through four of those brothers. They're close-knit family, and I'm sure Drake took his lumps throughout the years, as young brothers sometimes do, for sure. But, you know, that's the one thing you'll see about him. He's going to work. He's extremely competitive, and I think his background, he's as humble as a kid as I've ever been around. You know, my kids love him. I got four kids of my own, and they're just – he just connects with everybody, and he'll do that there as well. He'll connect with everybody in that building, and I think you're going to be really excited when it's all said and done.
Chip, how much interaction did you have with the Patriots brass in terms of their investigating and digging in on Drake?
Yeah, a lot. Those guys came several times. They were here quite often, actually, and you know, obviously they want to sit down and you know, pick your brain on what your thoughts are on this or that. And a lot of it's off the field stuff. A lot of it's his personality. A lot of it is kind of who he is, how he prepares, getting to know him, you know, internally. They understand, they see the talent, they see all those things, but I remember them being at many practices and doing a lot of just casual conversations and then sitting down with them as well. So those first class organization, those guys do a great job, and as they should, you know, anytime you invest in a draft pick or that high draft pick and that kind of money, I think it's something they take a lot of pride in doing their homework on. They did a fabulous job.
Coach, while we got you on the line, I know that last night Drake May was asked about Tez Walker. He had an interesting sort of re-entry back into college football of the, you know, ranked guys that I'm just looking at on ESPN. They've got him 10th, but he is kind of a unique case. What can you tell us about Tez Walker if the Patriots do think to decide to pair him up with, meaning to pair Drake May up with a guy he's already played with?
Yeah, I tell you, Tez's story is unbelievable. And, you know, what that kid went through and the things that he did, and to get back with us. And you know, he really only played 7.5 games because he didn't start the first game. He came back, and that was a huge piece that was missing for Drake. You know, you look around last night, you see LSU got 2 first-round receivers along with the quarterback, and, you know, our guys are a little bit younger. We've got younger players that I think will be really good. But, you know, Tez is a guy that same as Drake. He's just wired the right way. They want to work. They want to put the time in. He can really run. I mean, he's as good a runner as I've been around. And I think Tez's future is really bright. He'll continue to develop as well.
So we did grab Drake May last night right before he was done with all his interviews. And I mentioned to him, I said, hey, listen, we're going to talk to your offensive coordinator tomorrow. We're going to talk to Chip. I said, you have a message for him. Would you like to know what he said?
I bet I can call it. How about something about Country Bumpkin? Did he say something about that?
No. Well, close, but it had to do with your golf game and how bad it was. That's what his comments were.
I think the exact quote was, "Tell him he stinks at golf."
I think. Yeah, he was more. Yeah, that was it. Directly smack dab at your golf.
And then
game.
He laughed and walked off.
Yeah.
Well, he knows where I'm at. If he wants to come try.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like some people say, I'm not hard to find, so he knows where I'm at. But just a lot of fun. Going to miss him.
Great breakdown, Chip. Thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Good luck this upcoming season, and thanks for the breakdown.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Interesting stuff there from Chip Lindsay.
The old season, they never agree with what the pros say.
Oh, you mean on the whole footwork thing?
Yeah,
there were some protection breakdowns.
Yeah,
and
it's like, why was your offense, you know, why did he have 38 touchdowns in 2022 and then 24 in 2023? What was the massive breakdown? What was the difference, right? You know, we're going to play some stuff from a breakdown that Bill had at 11, right? Is that 11?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, where he specifically talks about his mechanics.
Yeah, and I think, too, though, Chip did lend a little credence or at least some more perspective on, you know, we've talked to, what was it, Charlie Weiss?
Yeah.
Remember when Charlie, when we were doing the 03 walk back, and he was like, well, Bill tells me we want to run it 40 times. That's my job. I gotta run it. So clearly Mac Brown told Chip Lindsay, hey, listen, we got to bounce the offense out a little bit, because he mentioned having a 1,500-yard rush.
Yeah, and their offensive – yeah, and the other thing that stands out to me is like how often we're hearing that they were there. What did he say? Quite a bit.
Quite a bit. No,
in
that's
Chapel Hill. They went down there quite a bit. So they were at practices. They were at meetings. The most important thing for all, it's like you can tell a guy's an athlete. You can tell he's got skill. A lot of them have skill. The one thing that most of these guys, they're trying to figure out how you're wired. They're trying to figure out what makes you tick. They're trying to know, like, is this just a smoke screen? Do you really study a lot? How important is it to you? And we'll also play some sound of Gerard Mayo and what was his aha moment when he saw Drake May. And it all makes sense. And if I was running a team, that would be the one thing that I wanted to know. Because playing in the NFL, if you don't like winning, if you're not willing to work your ass off more than you realize you need to, you're never going to make it. It's just impossible. I've seen too many people fail who are 10 times talented than me, but were lazy. So they really, really hit the whole, personal side of this pick.
More from Detroit with Gresh and Fourier. We will hear what Bill Belichick had to say about Drake May at 11 o'clock, but we continue next.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI
and streaming on WEEI.com.
Morning to the Twitchers. Holy cow. I'll tell you, this Twitch chat today.
Are they salty? What are they doing?
Are they happy?
Are they mad? What's the problem?
They're fighting with each other, I do believe. There are some who are with me on the Marvin Harrison thing. There are some who are just like, by God, we needed a quarterback, and this is what you had to do, and da-da-da. But Twitch is on fire, as you could imagine, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, where you can watch us for the final time from the Odyssey Sports sort of Buffalo Wild Wings draft compound.
Yeah, you ready to go home?
Oh, brother.
Can't get out of here fast enough.
And it has nothing to do with the city.
No, I would actually – okay, would I come back to Detroit to just kind of hang out No, because like that. No,
they don't even have a dispensary downtown.
No, but I mean, we looked for it though.
I dragged you with me.
The thing is that all we've been hearing is that about how they. I wonder what this place looked like before it was announced that they were getting the draft. Because if you remember, the local people here were telling us how much time and effort they had put into cleaning this place up.
Yeah,
like they literally over the year or 2 years that they knew, they added new restaurants, they added cleaner streets, they got rid of all the riffraff. I mean, they just really cleaned it up.
I will say this: that's a good point. I have not seen any like panhandlers or none of that. Like,
you know what we've seen a lot of? What have we seen on every single corner? As soon as we got off the airplane, we were greeted by these people. And then we see them on the corners.
The Hare Krishnas.
No. And my mother and your grandmother would be very happy.
That's right. There are people who are either pushing Jesus, selling, I think, like their version
Jesus
of
Chambers.
A Bible.
I don't know. What was it like own version?
Well, we walked by one today where the lady was like, good morning, God be with you. And we were just like yammering and we walked right by her.
I think I said Hail Satan.
I think you I think you might have yesterday.
Just to mess with them. Well, like, I believe in the devil.
So that we can sort of paint the picture, folks, okay? So as the days would go on, and we would try to figure out kind of, where we could go with the NFL, like, when do we get our sort of, credentials and stuff like that? And trying to figure all that out sort of got us aggravated by the end of the day. And I will be the first one to admit that I had no idea that the NFL is literally like, you people who, spent the money and came out and covered the draft and all that, you're going to go last. So you a-holes just sit in this room. And I got some thoughts on that I'm trying to hold in or whatever, but it's just like, oh, my God. That's why I think we would get aggravated at the end of the day. Like, at the end of the night last night, we literally stood around for 2 hours, and then finally, once Drake May went through the car wash, let's call it, it was like, okay, here's the Boston people. Even though we did have one of the PR people being like, oh, no, you're not in this. And we're like, yes, we are.
Local. They tried to stop us.
Yeah, and we just didn't listen.
Yeah.
And then because we weren't in the mood.
No. I will say this, like, it is staggering, unbelievable almost, how much power and weight the NFL has.
Oh my God.
They can take over a city. They literally, close to 300,000 people in downtown, and it started around 1 o'clock. You could see people kind of starting in, and there's really nothing to do. There's no amusement rides. There's not like all these.
There's
food fair.
There's a casino.
There's not. I mean, but they're not even near the casino.
Right. No.
They were set up on that lawn at like 4 o'clock. Earlier than that.
Well,
really.
People started filing in. Yeah, the Rocky Horror Picture Show started at about 10 o'clock yesterday morning. Or a little before. Remember, we saw people. It was like, Tampa fan who was like wanting to get their face get up in the front row. We do have some draft stuff to kind of like unpack a little bit.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about the rest of the first round yet because we just talked to Chip Lindsey, UNC offensive coordinator. We will talk to Razor at 11:25 about the Bruins. We got Lou at noon on the Red Sox. And our draft coverage is sponsored by McFarland Energy, the home heating oil delivery, and HVAC pros at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Chock Full of Nuts Coffee, and by McCormick Grill Mates Seasoning. Well, I know for some who are all done with Bill Belichick, you might not want to hear his analysis of Drake May. Then again, maybe we can all open our minds and listen to what Bill B. Hoodsworth had to say on the Pat McAfee draft presentation about Drake May and more next with Gresh and Fauria.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.